Welcome to the Claims Game Podcast with Vince Perry. Get all the tips you need from insurance claim advocates and professionals and grow your public adjusting career to the next level. And now the commercial claims advocate, Vince Perry.
We are here for a little special edition of the Claims Game Podcast Commercial Claims Show. I have two special guests that came to visit me over here in our new signature workspace office. First, I'm going to introduce to Andrew over here. Andrew is the owner and CEO of Turbo Workforce, and we've got Adrian, who's a public adjuster at Elite Resolution. So it's basically three public adjusters here hanging out, all from Miami. You're not originally from Miami, though, right?
I mean, you could say so. I've been there for 10 years, so does that count?
That counts.
I think that makes him a Miamian, right?
For sure. Did you ever eat at Flanagan's?
100%.
Okay, then you're from Miami.
Better wings, Flanagan's or Sports Grill?
Sports Grill.
All day. I told you.
All day.
You said no.
Nah, not a fan.
Flanagan's all day?
All day. Flanagan's everything.
Okay. And I was telling Adrian, I just found out that I think Chicken Kitchen is a Miami thing also. Which makes no sense.
Who knew?
Because there are none here. So we'll get right to the point. Want to talk about really just two subjects. We were just thinking about what should we talk about. So this is definitely going to be catered to the Miami, to the Florida audience. One of those things that we wanted to get into was the litigation issue of no attorney fees and costs anymore. Obviously, that's a pretty hot topic that's been going on. You could feel the pressure, right? Mm. From the insurance company?
Absolutely. They're making it happen like so that way, you know, cutting the roads.
You can tell when you're trying to negotiate and stuff like that and you're trying to present an argument or something and they're just kind of like they're just fighting tooth and nail.
Mm. I've just, you know, what I've noticed is when it comes to mediation, I think they're less likely to come to put a legitimate offer in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, they're more so willing to go to litigation now because of this, you know, attorney's fees and costs not being paid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when they come in mediation with like a $5,000 offer and you've got like a $50,000 estimate.
And they don't want to move from that, you know? And it sometimes I think it could put fear in the customer's, you know, mind because they're in the mediation.
Yeah.
You know, they're there. They're taking part in the process. So yeah,
they're feeling the pressure live.
They're feeling it live. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I definitely think that it's a hot topic on every public adjuster's mind for sure.
I am. I'm telling the clients when it's about time to potentially go to litigation. I am sort of I am explaining that whole proposal for settlement process. Mm. And the way I explain it is basically the attorney's going to charge a percentage. Really could be anything, right? We're obviously charging our percentage and they're going to need to come up with a number. I tell them it's like not just the bottom line number, but even a number that they may not be totally happy with. But they're willing to accept it to just stop the claim. Because from my understanding, and I know you know a lot about this, Andrew, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. But my understanding is that PFS, the proposal for settlement, if they agree to it, that's it. Claim is over. And it's probably going to be a very lowball offer. If they don't agree with it and it goes to litigation, then it's kind of a wash because attorney fees and costs are paid for in the litigation process. So what I'm telling them is think of a number. You know, let's say we've got a $50,000 estimate, and obviously we're writing up a $50,000 estimate because it costs $50,000. But if for some reason maybe there's a lot of work that they don't want to do or whatever it is, and they're willing to accept, I don't know, $20,000-$25,000, then there might be a chance that the attorney in the proposal for settlement could present it, and then they accept it. And in this way, they may not be happy, totally happy, but the claim is done, the claim is over, everyone gets paid. And if it doesn't, then you get into the litigation process and you start that.
Actually, you file a complaint. Yeah, I mean, it all comes down. I really don't see many of PFS actually being approved by a policyholder. You know, usually it is a lowball offer. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a lower number than what you would expect. But in the business that we are about compromising as mm-hmm. well, right? So from the insurance perspective, from the policyholder, there's going to be some compromises that they're going to have to do. And you have to kind of identify what those compromises are. Like if you have a cracked tile floor, and that's definitely part of the damage that was caused by the loss itself, you know, then obviously, are you really going to compromise the floor not being taken care of? You know, so it becomes a question as to what happened in that claim.
Right. One of the things that I'm doing before I even get there to the litigation process, though, is I am not opposed to filing a civil remedy notice.
Notice of intent. There are definitely things that have solved a lot of problems.
Found one today.
Yeah. Amazing. So when, at what stage within the claim are you already sending it into litigation or sending the claim to an attorney or recommending an attorney get involved? Mm. At what stage does that start? Is it from the onset of the claim, or have you already done, you know, a certain amount of work to get to a certain point, and you get this, you get this response from the insurance company, you know, obviously a denial letter, and then you're saying, okay, well, now this is the moment that we need to make that transition.
I mean, at the end of the day, obviously it depends per the claim itself. And I can tell you one thing from the get-go, like, I definitely don't recommend anything. You know, I'm there as an advisor. So I could advise, I could tell you what I think it's best, but that's not really to be taken as a recommendation per se, you know, just because this is what it is, right?
Right.
So understanding that to begin with, you really have to give all the information to the client so they can make their best decision as to everything that's happening.
For sure.
So when it comes to when, that's a definitely a different question, because you know, you have your time set for things as a PA, right? So you know, from the moment that you send that estimate out, you might give the claim 30 days, and that's literally all you're going to give it to be able to negotiate. And once that negotiation is done, or there's no negotiation happening, then obviously a decision needs to come into play, right? Is this good for a mediation? Is this good for an appraisal? Or is this good for litigation? So that's really how I present it to the client to begin with. You know, there's really kind of three routes to go about this. What do you think is best for you? You know, right. And obviously depending on the number and everything that it is, you're going to definitely take one of those routes. I would say that if there's a lot of things that have already been approved as far as like the area of the damages itself, you have a pretty good chance of being able to figure out something in appraisal, maybe even in mediation.
I tend to get very, I don't want to use the word emotional, but I get upset. If I know that we're not taking a claim unless we know it's covered.
Right. Okay.
So for me, when a claim gets denied, sometimes I take it personal.
Okay.
Especially if it's a claim that I signed. Okay. So I do tend, it depends. It does depend on the claim. No. If it's a straight denial, the routes and the options are usually going to be like a litigation route, or civil remedy notice, a bad faith complaint.
Okay.
Which is something that I think is unique to Florida. I'm not really sure, but it goes a long way. Because the bad faith complaint, it opens up a whole other can of worms that they have to really look out for. And it's basically, it's bad faith, you know, and people are always just like, don't say bad faith, don't say bad faith, because, you know. But to me, if I know that a claim is covered and should have been paid, and I've got wind speeds, and I've got facts, and I've got all these things, and they still deny it, or they don't respond to me, and they go beyond 60 days, 90 days, or whatever it is, then, you know, I mean, I might be leaning towards that. And that does seem to work. To get them onto the negotiating table and ultimately settle the claim.
If you're a public adjuster, or frankly, anybody in the restoration industry, attorneys included, if you are having trouble finding the right admins, Turbo Workforce and Andrew is the way to go. I cannot tell you how valuable this service is, not only because he provides you with the perfect, already vetted, already interviewed, already perfect administrator for whatever need that you have, but he also is a public adjuster, and he's been a public adjuster for a long time. So he understands the industry, and he understands the ins and outs and everything that goes on throughout the entire claims process from beginning to end. Call Turbo, contact Turbo Workforce so that you could find the perfect administrator for your company. Good luck.
Yeah, once you start, you know, letting the insurance carrier know that, you know, it looks like we're going to be heading down that route, it really gets them to start opening up.
I had one, I mean, yesterday, I was telling you about yesterday, I wish I would have had a camera. I told you guys in the chat.
You told us, yeah, you said it got pretty heated.
It got super heated. I mean, the guy was like pointing at me, and you know why he was pointing at me? Because I filed a bad faith complaint on him, and he took an offense. He was really, really pissed off. And I just told him, I said, I mean, we have I'm going to tell you guys right now, it's a $1.7 million difference.
Mm, yikes.
Like, you know, and you guys have paid $80,000. Like, we're a little far apart. You're not responding. Every time we talk in circles. We don't get anywhere. I'm trying to get to the point. I need to move this thing along. Nobody gets paid until you actually make a payment on the claim. And he took offense to it. But I mean, it's getting it moving. I got an inspection out there. We actually met in person. We got in a pretty nice shouting match, but I still think that's progress. No, it's just part of the, it's part of
it. Yeah, I mean, when you start taking things personal in a way from either side, you know, it's definitely not probably the best way to go about it. 100%. But you can't help to be pissed sometimes, though, because sometimes you really think it's unfair. Like, this is really unfair what you're doing right now. So, you know.
I agree with you. However, I can see how, you know, as a public adjuster, you can get, you want to keep it professional, but you can get really devoted to your client and trying to make sure that, you know, they're able to, that whatever is fair is what's happening for them. Because ultimately, I know in that case, it's a commercial claim, and, you know, that could be someone's livelihood. That could be somebody's,
they lost everything.
Right. And that's how they fed their family.
Yes.
Right?
And so staying open or closed, pretty much.
Yeah.
Literally. Oh, exactly. It just doesn't exist anymore.
It's wiped it's out. Gone. Yeah. And so when that's the case, you know, when you feel like that person, you know, your client that when you first signed them up or when you first met with them, you were making probably a lot of promises, you know, letting them know that we're going to take care of them. We're going to work the claim from A to Z. And we're going to make sure that you're going to get your property put back to its pre-loss condition. And I believe that's a Hurricane Ian claim, right? Mm-hmm. So what day is today? You know, April 10th, 2024. And if they're not paid, I can understand why you would get a little bit, you know, ramped up. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, keep it professional. Mm-hmm. And I think that what you said actually is awesome, because you said that you're an advisor and you give your client options, you give them not recommendations but a little bit of guidance as to where you think, based on your experience, where the claim could go. You know, in that scenario, like one that you're dealing with, I'm sure that if you were to give your client that suggestion of taking it to litigation, they would be all hands on, because you know, like, it's almost 2 years since the hurricane and you're $1.7 million apart. So,
well, I think you just said something very important that probably doesn't get considered a lot, and it's about setting the expectations.
Yes.
You know, and once you're dealing with the claim and once you start, you know, seeing what those options are, you know, if you're setting up the expectation from the get-go, you know, obviously, especially when it's like a denied claim like that, obviously, you're going to be able to have a smoother ride when whatever happens with that, right? So you want to make sure you're definitely setting up the expectations from the get-go to begin with, especially when it comes to the litigation process. If the client is already saying, hey, yes, I need a lawyer, I need to figure this out, I'm like, all right, sir, let's sit down, let's have a little conversation, because this is gonna be a long process. And that's the truth, you know. At the end of the day, the courts are literally backed up with all the claims that are being filed, right? So in general, right? So not to say that your case is actually gonna go to court when it's actually going through the litigation process, but if it literally has to go all the way to the end of that with the big gap in between, then obviously, you know, definitely setting up the expectations. But honestly, most of the cases don't actually end up in court.
Right.
You're fine.
I've never had a case go to trial ever.
They usually settle before that.
For the most
part. Okay. Yeah,
But not to say they never go to trial. Like, right. We have attorneys, you know, that we know very well that they go to trial all the time.
All they do is trial.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, like you said, setting the expectations. I always tell people, I always like to tell them, look, at the end of the day, we're at the mercy of the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. And how they behave.
It's up to us to provide the evidence and the facts so that they could, because they're the ones ultimately cutting the check.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something very important to look at that right there. And it's about the policy.
Everybody needs an attorney on their side. So whether you're a public adjuster or contractor or anyone else in the insurance claims business, make sure that you have an attorney that you could rely on, that you can go to for questions whenever you need it. That guy for me for the last 12 years has been David Farber. David Farber is the owner of the Farber Law Firm, and he has been there for me from the beginning of my career until now. And I would love for him to be able to help you as well. So make sure you call him at this number here and visit his website so you can learn more about the amazing David Farber of the Farber Law Firm.
Right. When you're talking about the policy,
what do you always say?
RFP.
Read that effing policy
all day. So you have to understand that policy is what the insurance is using to deny your claim or to delay payment or to whatever it is that they're doing with that claim specifically. You, as a public adjuster, are using the same policy and the same wording that they have against them, because they write the policy. right? So as we know, obviously they have that ambiguous terms sometimes that just really opened up for coverage certain right. things that might be dealt with that claim specifically. So you have to really know that policy like the back of your head, and knowing that and being able to apply that, you're going to be able to maybe get away from litigation, but at the same time, sometimes there's just no way around.
Yeah, there's no way around. No way you got to get there.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see one more thing I'd like to talk about is, I mean, obviously we're talking about litigation. We're talking about the difficulties of settling some of these claims and so on and so forth.
Ooh. I think this is messed up. Yeah.
All right.
There you go. Right.
Obviously, we're talking about these things that sort of make our lives a little bit difficult. What are some of the things that you guys are doing these days to find new work, to find more claims? I'll start with you, Andrew. What's some of the things that you are doing?
You know, one of the biggest things...
Besides starting another company.
Gotcha, yeah. I could tell you that network is your net worth. Like, okay. It doesn't matter how you go about it, how many doors you knock on, how many people you have as clients and everything. If you're not networking with people in the industry, you're going to be left behind one way or another, because everybody does their own things in their own way, you know, and it's always not only good to learn from those people, but those people might even need your help sometimes. So networking is king. And I can say that that's one of the things that has kept me alive.
Literally. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. Yeah. What are you doing?
So for me, very similar, just reaching out to a lot of different contractors. We do have a fire lead source. So a lot of times going after those types of claims, work in the streets, door, I know that sounds odd,
it's
but,
tough. It's a
but,
gig
but fire door too. Knocking, and really, when it comes to what you're saying, networking, I do have a sales background. So I reach out to a lot of my sphere, and I just try to make sure that everyone that I know or that knows me knows I'm a public adjuster. Okay. Mm-hmm. However the conversation needs to get there, I'm not necessarily always closing whenever I'm talking to somebody, but I'm letting them know who I am, how I can help them, and, you know, trying to provide value. So when that's the case, when I am in front of somebody and almost every time I talk to somebody and I let them know that I'm a public adjuster, they say, hey, you know, I have this leak up in my bathroom, right. And, or, hey, you know, something's happening with my roof or mold growth here. And it just leads into the next conversation and ultimately into an inspection or a policy review. So right. just contacting the sphere and letting everyone that I know or that knows me, letting them know that I am a public adjuster.
I think contractors are a big one. I think you're right. Your network is your net worth. And for us, I feel like the easiest way for us to actually get, you know, consistent leads and have people out there who are actually at the claims is the contractors, the plumbers, the contractors, the electricians, and all those people. Those guys are out there all the time looking at basically looking at claims.
They're the ones getting the call when the emergency happens.
The more of them that you know, the more of them that you meet, the more of them that you put on your Rolodex, I think it's important. And also following up with them.
Mm.
You know, like staying on top of that. Like you said, lead, what'd you call it?
Lead management.
Lead management. Yeah. That's something that you guys provide at Turbo, which is just making sure that you've got all these leads, and it can be contractor leads as well, that you don't meet them one time and then forget about it.
Mm.
You know, follow up, shoot them a text once a week, go visit their office, bring them some cookies, some donuts and stuff like that, or whiskey, whatever it is that they want. But yeah, I think it's more important now than ever to definitely build your relationships with contractors. But you brought up the fire leads or storm leads, say what you want. You can have a list of 1,000. But good luck. Go out there getting after it. It's not easy. It's not easy to knock on a fire. It's not easy to knock in a neighborhood that had, you know, some hail, inch and a half inch hail, where now you have to go up every single roof and you have to find it. So it's a grind, but you got to be willing to do it at the end of the day.
You just got an undisputed on one of your fire leads that was close to $100,000. So, you know, it's definitely something worth chasing and worth, you know, following up with, because, you know, they're not small claims for the most part.
I would say that the real thing here, and maybe one of the things that I'm taking away and what I've taken away in different times, is like, you really have to kind of do everything. You have to do the networking. You have to go out and reach out.
Multifaceted.
Do you think you have to do everything, or should you focus on one thing that you're good at and that you enjoy doing?
So I think
I've heard both.
I'll say this, do one, whichever one you want to go with, network, direct marketing, whatever, perfect it. Make sure that's working for you. Automate it, move to the next one.
Ooh, interesting.
That's a great point.
Or focus on one thing and then dabble in some of the other things, or no?
Yeah, I mean, naturally that's going to happen, I think. Right, you know? But you don't want to fully jump into the other one when you haven't really figured out one of the ones before. I mean, I would say direct marketing, period.
What is direct marketing?
That's what I was just kind of clarifying in a way, because direct marketing could be considered many different ways. Like people send, you know, door-to-door mail, you know, to the neighborhood, you know, a lot of people knocking doors, and even Facebook ads, it's sort of in a way a direct marketing, right? So you have many ways of being able to establish a direct marketing structure, and there is ways to automate all of them. So if you can really figure out what's the one that works best for you, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. One, it's going to resonate with you more than the other, and that's the one that you should be focused on the most.
Yes, right?
100%.
All right. Well, that was pretty cool. That was pretty fun. Yeah, thank you guys for coming up to visit.
Thank you for having me.
We shot a lot of content today. I think it was pretty awesome.
Amazing.
We're just three public adjusters from Florida, just trying to make a living here. And
to never have to answer what question?
What is a public adjuster?
That's what it's all about.
Got the back of my shirt.
Nice. That's awesome. All right, guys. Thanks for coming up. We'll do this again.
All right, guys. Thank you.